All right, we're recording.
Okay, we're in session at 7:05.
I'll make a motion when we approve the payroll, the payables, and the minutes.
I gotta find it. Here it is.
Sorry, Paul.
It's not hooked together. I was looking for the sheriff's bill and I had the guy on the phone.
Oh. Did they get you into the system?
No, he left a note for Mrs. Coffin for tomorrow. She will
get you
call me with an email. Probably the password and so forth.
Okay.
Forum. Correspondence. Paul has read this.
Oh.
It's been sent to, what's her name, Laurel. She's going to correct it. And
is it your select board report?
It's our select board report, yeah.
Our select board report, okay.
We have an issue. I got another. Apparently sewage is becoming a problem, water or whatever. This is the condos. Apparently they've got some water issues up there, so they think or whatever. And basically she is investigating it. And I'm trying to find her note here.
I couldn't really make out what they were getting at, though.
I guess apparently it's never been tested, or they've never. Somebody is either buying or selling, or.
Okay.
So they're looking into what the deal is with the water.
I was trying to figure out whether they didn't have any water or they needed to test it.
And I guess the problem is also we don't have. A manager or somebody you can get a hold of. Because according to this thing that Nora sent back, there's 8 people claim homestead. 1 from New York, 1 from New Jersey, 2 from Mass, and 2 from Connecticut. I don't understand how that's... Oh, the president of the association owns 2 units as well. All the tax bills are in one name only. I have no way of telling if these are more than one person living. If there's more than one person living there. So, anyways, our health officer is on it. Speaking of health officer, did we send the paperwork back on her? Did she ever come in and sign it or anything? I believe she needs to sign it.
I got a hold of her,
and she's willing to continue.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen anything.
We did that shortly after the election, didn't we?
No, it just expired here.
Oh, it did?
A meeting or 2 ago.
I thought we did that.
Could you make a point to look and see if you can find that tomorrow, the form?
Yeah, I think I sent it to her.
Maybe I filled it out online. I don't know. But she did. I almost think it has to be notarized. You have to sign. I have to sign it. She has to sign it. It's got to get notarized or something. But I'm not positive. Stanley has a issue with his Act 250 permit. Incomplete paperwork and so forth. Doesn't really concern us. He's... under the gun to get it organized. Gina's looking into these small traffic grants. I gave her the intersection at by the store as far as putting a curb in there and getting rid of that. I mean, even though we got lines painted in the road, nobody paid attention to that. Okay. Beer trucks still parked there and all that stuff.
So. Yep.
And it's too wide. It's just everybody comes up and it's, you know, I mean, they used to have the monument in it. You must remember that.
Absolutely.
I remember it. That's why it's so wide.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's looking. There's some small traffic grants such as curb signage, including chevrons, delineators, advanced warning signs, intersection signage, edge line striping, rumble strips, replacement of damaged deteriorated guardrail, fixed object removal such as trees or ledge. There's no local grant requirement. So she's looking into that, and then she's also looking into a grant for the library for storm windows and a handicap ramp, either a paved ramp or a aluminum ramp or something to that
effect. Concrete.
From ADA and the state. What'd you say?
Or a concrete one she was talking about, too.
Yeah. Wow, paved.
You could probably get one of those concrete ones that are precast, right?
I don't know. That isn't much of a ramp. I mean, it's not much of a height difference. Is it? If I remember right, it's an inch per foot. So if that's, I don't know, 12, 16 inches above grade, then it's 16-foot-long ramp. Which I think that ramp is... I measured it once, maybe 18 feet or something.
Yep.
But she does also mention in an email that the beads are worn off the roofing material that's there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw back, I responded today that there's a whole another section that will do the whole thing one more time because you had to buy it in a certain rule. And Rich said there's enough that you can do it again. Because we're not going to be able to do anything now with winter coming for buildings. So, unless it's an aluminum thing you put in, but
end of the week probably could, because it's going to warm up.
No, I meant if for a grant and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so they're, and they have all the mail, all, everything that I had left over, I gave to them, put in their shed, so they have enough to redo it again. Because yeah, it does get worn out. Sherry, I don't see what bonuses were put in here.
Oh.
Were your holiday bonuses in here?
Yes.
Oh, they are?
I got them under holiday, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Top line, maybe, or something.
What's missing?
I just don't see where it says holiday. Because, like, Sherry, I see yours is... It just says your 64 and a half hours, and I think that's what your time card said.
Yeah. Yeah, but should there not be things like holiday voucher, X number of dollars?
Oh, there it is. Got it. I just wanted to make sure it was in there for you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Army Corps of Engineers, I got a thing from Brian Sanderson. Apparently, any permits that... Now, FEMA has, I guess FEMA's, I don't know, they don't give them out any money, but apparently, should they have to, they're requiring that you have A&R and Army Corps of Engineers come out for permits as well as everybody else. So hopefully we don't have to get any more permits. We've had quite enough permits in the last year.
For now, yeah.
That's all I have for correspondence. That's all I've seen. Other than, let's see, well, there was one other thing. No, I guess it was just that condo deal. Oh, the sewer problem up at Bird's Nest Road. I went up there before it snowed, walked around. I've been up there one other time, walked around. I don't smell a thing. I don't see any weird wet spots or anything. near as everybody can tell, it's on the in the cul-de-sac, the house in the center.
Yeah, where Tiffany lives, I think.
Yeah. Tiffany.
Angelillo,
yeah. I haven't heard anything from Mr. Dreyer on his lawsuit or law enforcement or anything, so I assume...
What? What happened? What are we talking about?
Well, apparently, I guess, I believe in researching the thing with Val and looking at address numbers and stuff, it was Mr. Dreyer. I believe it's David. He's got six or eight kids, and I can't keep it straight, but I believe it's David. Who owns the house on, used to be Zadowski's years ago, the red house that sits down on the end of the channel there.
Okay.
Anyways, he's the one who built the garage in the middle of the road, so to speak, right on the edge of the road. And apparently he's the one that's been smelling
the sewer.
Sewerage lately, or somewhat recently. And he's the one that issued the complaint.
Mm-hmm.
To Valerie. I don't know how he found her name or how he, I never heard
maybe
about it.
Maybe in the town book.
Oh. I don't know. I know how he found it, but
yeah.
That's irrelevant. And he went to her, and then there was a nasty email that I caught wind of that talked about if nothing's done, he's going to seek lawyers and law enforcement because he knows that there are certain sewage septic laws in the state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, I told him to do what he had to do, and I haven't heard any more. I haven't smelled anything, I haven't seen anything. I don't know. I know they have had some odors in the past there, problems in the past, but that was, I haven't heard anything for years now.
Oh, well, you know
it. Yeah.
We have a problem.
I'm a little glad I don't have neighbors.
So, yeah. Well, anyways, that's all I have. And, have you heard anything on LHMP?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard any.
Well, tonight was supposed to be public comment. If we had any comments, so must be everybody thought it was perfect.
She supposedly got a hold of everybody and so forth.
I posted it everywhere, so it was supposed to be posted. So, well, as far as online stuff, I'm assuming Sherry posted it in the. All the places out here.
I guess the guardrails were installed at least.
Guardrails and the line was installed, but the line, I knew it wouldn't stay. Paint's not this time of year, but it was, they're all done. They're officially done. Everything's done. Yeah, guardrails went in last
Saturday.
Friday, I think. Was it
Friday?
Yeah. Friday, maybe it took 2 days. I don't know if it took them more than a day. I know they were there Friday.
Yeah, Dave seems like it was Saturday.
Surprised they worked on Saturday.
Everybody works on a Saturday. Anyways, so that's project is done. I haven't heard anything from anybody as far as have you seen any bills or had anything from. Okay, it'll probably take them a few minutes to figure all that out. Cemetery.
I messaged Eric, and he thought they should be able to make it tonight. Doesn't look like they're able to make it, unless they're running late. I did get the message to him.
Okay. I don't know what the answer is, but...
Well, we need to somehow have a conversation with them, like you said.
I talked to the surveyor umpteen times. I talked to Dave Johnson is on the board. He just throws his hands up in the air. He's not happy.
No, because he wants his line established.
Well, he's already got 2 or 3 graves on his land, which he's fine with it. But he said, you know, it's just something that it should be done.
So, right.
Right. Or at least not in the future.
So that's where that sits. So
and I don't know if they've moved on to another surveyor or what they've done. So I don't know. I was hoping to find out more tonight.
I know exactly what they've done.
Well, I was about to say that Jim's not the only surveyor in the area.
No, Cody Hicks is a surveyor.
Right.
He's Ray Paulett.
Yep.
I think he lives in Paulett.
Yep.
Paulett or Dorset.
Danby Paulett. Danby Mountain Road.
Jim's that busy.
So, I don't know, maybe we ought to take it upon ourselves and just get the guy in here to, you know, somebody in here to finish it. I mean, I don't see how we can keep selling lots when you don't know where the lots are. They're not laid out. The road isn't laid out. I mean, we've done absolutely, the only people have done anything is the board and the highway department.
That seems to be the...
I don't know what the answer is.
Well, and my question, too, is we give them, what, $5,000 every year? And that's to move the lawns, right? I think that's in addition to the lawn money.
And they give us $2,500 back.
Yep, for the lawns. So what is being done with that other $2,500? Because they're not doing anything. So that's the thing, is they collect fees when they're selling lots and when they're doing anything. So they're not refacing the things.
They're not trimming the trees. They're doing absolutely
nothing.
You can't hardly drive through there without slacking your car.
They're not repairing stones.
That's what I mean. They're not doing that.
Yeah, wasn't that what that $5,000 is going to be? Repair stones.
I mean, they're going to have to put a road in and all that out back. I mean, it's just, you know, we do the flags at Memorial Day or Veterans Day or whatever day we do it. So.
Yeah, we do the, I've been in there more than I normally would be just because the flag has been going up and down a half staff about every other day. Somebody tips over and got to lower the flag or raise the flag or whatever. And I don't see the, you know, the trees, or you go in there and you swat the side of your car and everything else. Charlie King said to me one day, he says, "Do I have to bring my hearse into the well cemetery?" You know, I don't know. Go over there and have Dave and the boys go over there and trim the trees, but I just don't think that's... they've got 40-some-odd thousand dollars in the money market account. And it appears they have a bunch of... they have some stocks. They have AT&T, Comcast, Putnam, and Verizon. They got dividends from that. And then, grave opening fee is $120. Perpetual care is $3,500. I don't follow that. $3,500 what? For everybody?
I don't know.
Bank interest, $20.99. Plot at the East Wells Cemetery, nothing. I mean, it's just...
Wanda does all that.
Like, you know what accountant wrote this? Why do they need a P.O. box for $82 a year?
I don't know.
Maybe there's, you know, public...
newspaper posting of the annual meeting. They haven't had an annual meeting in 2 or 3 years. Bank service charge of $30. For what? They bounce a check or something?
Probably. Right. Somebody
cemetery maintenance to the town of Wells, $2,500. CHB services, $208.
What's that? Eric
forgot he's on his way, so we can come back to ask him.
He's what?
He's on his way, he forgot.
Now, I don't know. Oh, TD money market account. On 3/9 of 23, it was $40,569. It is now 3/9 of 24, and that's $42,900.
Well, I think we did all the backfield, you know, we took care of that expense, and they're supposed to be working on the surveyor, then I believe they're supposed to be paying to get the road put in to extend it.
Well, they have nothing. We don't even know.
Well, I don't think
if a cemetery's on our land or not.
Well, right, that's why they're not doing anything further. But right, so hopefully Eric can shed some light on what's going on.
Okay.
Do we have something else while we wait for him? Or is that it?
We're down to new business.
Got any new business?
not really. Got some old business on the deal up in Rutland there with Rutland Solid Waste.
Oh, yeah, what's going on with that?
They're in search of some people, three people to be replaced.
I thought I saw a posting for stuff.
But they haven't hired anybody. They've had interviews.
Do they have any money to pay people? Plus, no. I knew they didn't have much money, and I'm sure they're going to have legal fees now.
Well, Mark was getting 100-some-odd thousand a year. Treasurer was getting 100-some-odd thousand a year, plus whatever he could steal.
Well, that's right.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where. A lot of the legal fees are through League of Cities and Towns.
Okay.
And then there's it's the same attorney that one of our tax fights uses. He's he's a member. He's on the board. So I don't believe he's charging for his input.
And we still have no follow-up and haven't heard anything on that either.
What's that?
We haven't heard anything on the other either.
Okay. Not a word.
Okay.
We made our bid back to him.
Yeah.
Well, I see in Merrill's billing that she's been talking with that Gary Kempfler or whatever.
Yeah, that's the guy that I'm on the board with.
Apparently they have been talking about it.
Well, she got a hold of him and gave him what we told him to give him after the guy came through with the appraisal.
So the billing that I looked at there is that?
That's probably what it is. Well, it was probably a month ago.
Oh, no, actually, I think it was longer than that.
Back in October.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, time flies when you're having fun. Or maybe she's tried to. That's the wrong one. Oh, you got it right there. Can I have the purple folder, please? It's got the internet working again, I believe.
Really?
I'll send you a bill.
Okay. How much an hour?
I was able to get online.
Have you heard the generator run, by the way?
I thought it ran on Sunday.
Oh, it should run. I can't remember what day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I made it. When I changed the oil in it, I made it so it was on I did it on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So, and when they would be here. The power hasn't gone off, so I really haven't needed it. But I just have to think about that. Oh, I did talk to Williams. Did I tell you? Maybe I told you. He will do the burners. He is certified for gas and
Jacob.
For propane and
you just put in a
propane and oil.
You just put in a boiler, propane boiler for my brother-in-law.
He the only problem is he won't be here until the first week of January.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to do a job for me back in the end of November, and I haven't seen him yet. Mine's not an emergency, so I don't worry about it too much.
Yeah, he's been there. He's been buried. I see him every now and then.
Hi, Eric.
Hi there. Forgot us, huh?
He's there, yeah.
Yeah. Make it quick so we're not here all night. Oh.
Like I said, I completely forgot I was doing a bunch of other stuff.
That's all right.
So tell us something.
What's going on with the cemetery?
Like to know? I mean,
where are we with the surveyor?
Hey, where do we stand with the surveyor?
Nothing's changed.
Why don't we hire another one?
I think that would be the next step. The only thing that's kind of holding it up would be the potential of hiring someone else, and then they're going to come in and basically start over, you know.
Well, the survey you got is totally worthless. It's had everything on it, a piece of paper with a rectangle drawn on it.
Well, yeah, well, I think from what Tim had done initially a while back, when I met with him, I think it was, like a year or two ago, he said, I have all the markings, I have everything. I just got to put it in and then, you know, draw up an official survey and do all that stuff. And he made it sound like he just had a couple hours of work. He did all the measuring. And here's what I think. And again, I guess it comes down to what the cemetery board wants to do is, if we hire someone else and then he comes forward and says, well, I did everything, not pay me. You know what I mean? I don't know him. I don't know.
Well,
him.
I would say you'd want to send him a letter first and say you have so many days to respond. Otherwise we're going to somebody else. And that's at least covering your bases.
The question is not just surveying that particular lot. I feel, and I think the board will agree with me, someone needs to lay out the road.
Right.
Someone needs to lay out the lot so I don't get calls at 10, 11 o'clock at night from some woman screaming at me about her father that died in 1994.
We wanted the whole shebang. We wanted the roads laid out, and he did that. So he's laid out the initial roads.
Where?
On the draft map that we have that he initially did, it shows some of the pin marks, but there's no measurements. He didn't put any measurements on there. He just has the reference points. And, you know, I think I had sent it to you a while back.
Yeah, it was a blank. It was a rectangular piece of paper with a rectangle drawn on it, more or less.
Yeah, and it just had some points on it, but it was like a PDF, and you said you were having a hard time printing it out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had asked him for, you know, more specific measurements. And so it wasn't complete. You know, it was just kind of like a reference. what he initially had done. You know, I'll have to go back and read the last email I sent him, I copied you on.
That was for a while.
I've talked to him several times in person when I just happened to come in here when I've been here. And I'm getting there. If he's that busy, then it's pointless to...
Yeah. You know, and I think if the select board really just wants to get this done, you know, I'll reach out.
Well, I think you need to get it done.
People are dying every day. We need to get this thing done.
Right, you have no room. We don't want to go into that new area until we have the survey.
The other point I wanted to bring up is the last time I talked to Charlie, he has records that are kept at his house.
I don't know. I mean,
that's fine, except for the fact that I would like to see copies of them. We spent a lot of money building that cement room right here. Mm-hmm. And it's got better than a two-hour burn time. In 2 hours, the two houses he set on fire up there were laying on the ground. So I just don't have a lot of faith in Charlie's storage ability of documents that need to be in the town. At least something has to be here.
Okay.
I mean, obviously he wants to keep a copy of the drawings of the cemetery. And when we get the new drawing... Well, I sold this lot to Joe Blow and this one to Susie Q and so forth. But in the meantime, it all needs to be here so that people call up, like this woman that called me up after Nora went to Florida. She called me and, you know, we went round and round and round and round. I believe she called Charlie.
What was the name, Jenkins?
Jenkins, yes.
Do you know if that rings a bell?
I can't think of father's name, but her father's name is first name.
Alfred,
yes.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's right here. Alfred's daughter called. They're trying to figure out where he's buried.
They have no idea. She Alfred was a local character. Lived in a trailer up in back of Jack Williams' quarry.
Okay.
Had a daughter. This is his daughter. She's 42 years old now, I believe, or 43 years old. He died in 1994, I believe, if I remember the story right.
Okay.
And penniless, welfare funeral, or donated funeral. And she now has a gravestone that she wants to mark her father's grave with. And Charlie told her, this is hearsay, but Charlie told her to go up and poke around till she hit something solid.
Yeah.
In the gravelly soil that we have over in the cemetery, you're going to hit something solid most any place you stick a pole in the ground.
That place is hard for me to sound out.
We kind of think, between Charlie King and myself going over there and spending time, that he has a sister, I think, and I can't tell you her name off the top of my head. And Charlie seems to remember, I mean, it's 1994, and has had a couple of funerals since 1994, so yeah. He's not positive, but he thinks it's right. It was a two-bed or a two-grave lot or a four-grave lot, and where the sister is, and he thinks that's where the guy is. But
okay, so Alfred Jenkins.
Yes,
Alfred Jenkins. Okay.
It was in June of 1994. In 1994, that I'm sure of.
I'll see what is up, what he has up there. I mean, I'll be up at his place tomorrow morning, and I'll see if if you found a lot or not. I'll still see if I can find it confirmed.
Yeah, because she was talking, I think, legal matters.
There are serious legal ramifications. You just can't throw a body in a hole and say, "See you later."
Yeah,
and I mean, she went in depth with me on that. About her third or fourth conversation, which
interesting,
just blew off the handle. And, I did what I could do. I went over there, I looked around, I got a hold of Charlie King. We went over there, wandered around, and he thinks he knows, but I mean, there's no stone. And, you know, it was so long ago. I mean, 1994 is a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, there's burials I've done like 2 years ago. I couldn't tell you where they were at.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, he operates out of about 10 different cemeteries.
Oh, yeah.
He does 150 a year. So.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Busy guy, that's for sure. Okay.
And we talked, the other thing, we talked about the records and so forth 2 years ago when you had your last annual meeting.
Yeah.
And you also might want to remind Charlie what annual means. I mean, I'm not trying to be a bad guy, but I mean, I've talked to Charlie, and I might as well go out standing outside and talk to the propane tank out there.
We put a lot of time and money into that backfield, and we want to make sure it doesn't overgrow again.
I mean,
and
Dave,
to get things moving.
Johnson, that's on your board or on the board.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a couple of graves that are on his land. He thinks. And he's not upset about it, but he just, you know, when he goes to sell that place or he dies and his wife sells it or whatever happens to it, you know, somebody else might not be so cordial.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, no, I agree on the back of the property. I mean, and I think we talked about before with the landscaping part of it, you know, having Brian mow that, you know, Brian's technically on the cemetery board too.
Well, yeah. Our contract back when I believe when we did the contract, it wasn't done yet, so we didn't expand it to back there. I don't think.
Yeah,
I mowed.
We'll
it
have to next.
I mowed it three or four times just so it wouldn't turn into trees and bushes. But,
yeah. Yeah.
And I was going to get over there this fall, and I didn't get over there. Needless to say, I don't need to go over there now.
And that's a lot of work, I understand that. And I think when we talked about it, you know, he was all like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, who's going to do all that for free? You know,
well, right. And,
that, so.
Well, and he never approached us about amending the contract or anything either.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to make sure he puts it in the bid with you guys well when it comes around.
Yeah.
But, the other thing we noticed is that there's trees that need to be trimmed back.
You can't drive through there with a car without it getting swatted by trees or bushes or whatever.
Yeah, some of those bushes, like the bushes on the interior, you talk about some of those need to go. Some of those should never
the road on the road on the west side, after you go in and come around on the right on the left hand side as you're looking at the flagpole, or the right hand side as you're driving out, they'll slap the trees need to be, you know. I mean, somebody needs to go over there and
trim
the trees back and cut the bushes. And I know my folks' grave, I'm going to go modify that. They have somebody planted a living memorial crab apple tree, and it's just gotten totally out of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had changed the cemetery rules last year.
Are they posted though? They're not, there's not a sign up there.
No.
I mean, we talked about getting a sign to put up or something. So I don't know when your next meeting is, but I think it would be best to have one soon to try to get this stuff going. So by spring, things can be installed. I mean, the trees, if they could be cut back sooner rather than later from when they have funerals. But I know you have, I think, drawings of all the burial plots or something. I know you had a clipboard with all the drawings or something.
Yeah.
If we just get a copy, come in and make a copy of that so we can have it in the safe.
Okay.
That would be
I know
great.
Nora has some information, but what she has is old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you have, just so it's fireproof. Okay. You know, that's the main thing because if something happens to any of us, you know, they need to have the gospel in there for our town to have it protected. So.
Absolutely, 100%.
And I know at one point we talked about trying to get something done to get some of these stones refaced and all that. I noticed there's a group that goes around for volunteer work or something that does that stuff. And or I've seen surrounding towns. I don't know how you get on their list to be volunteered for maybe once in a while. But I mean, I personally think you should have at least a quarterly meeting. I mean, there's a lot to be done there. And I'm not, you shouldn't do it all. I mean, you have a group for a reason, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with all that. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Some of it's just kind of falling onto the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely relay all that to Charlie. And, you know, maybe, you know, some of this stuff, you know, we don't even have to wait for our next meeting. And I will say that I think the last meeting we did have, we did talk about putting up some of the signage on the rules and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of getting some quotes and, you know, but, you know, I've been the one who's been contacting Shmulowski, so I'll reach back out to him. And,
you know, here, I just send him a certified letter,
you know,
or something. That way you know he's getting it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And just say, you know, it's been a long time now. We really need to have these in order to put the new road in and all this. If I don't hear back from you in 30 days, then we'll have to find someone and start over again with somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And we hope that it doesn't get to that or something like that. I don't know. But that, and send it certified so you know he's got it.
Okay.
So you've done your due diligence.
Just doesn't,
that's a good idea.
He doesn't respond. I mean, I got to say, I've talked to him at least a half a dozen times, maybe more.
I mean, we don't want to have to start over, but we have to get done.
I've been fairly blunt with what I'm saying. And it, you know,
And I left a message back, however, wherever that was. I mean, I remember calling him, leaving a message, and he's just ghosting.
Gina might be able to stumble on some grant work for some of that stuff.
For the facing of the stones would be nice.
Yeah. Fixing stones.
There is a grant, like the Vermont Old Cemeteries Association, which I'm a part of, and it's like a matching grant, and I know the treasurer for it. He's actually a funeral director. He says you should do it. So there is a matching grant for
some. Is that Chris?
So
who was it?
Chris Book.
Oh Christ, I've known him. I sold him a 3-wheeler when he was about 6 years old.
I mean, we should go ahead. If you need any help with any paperwork, Gina helps the select board. She's on our to work so much for us, but she's good with grants too.
She does it. She's doing
Gina Ellis is still. She's still.
Huh?
Gina.
Gina Ellis. Yes.
Yep.
She doesn't. She's not a librarian, but she does help us here. And so if you need help, just reach out to us, and we wouldn't mind helping to get that going for you.
Yeah.
You know. So
okay.
We've got a lot of mice sitting there. We need to get the maintenance done and get the road in and make sure you have room. Unfortunately, for when there's more deaths in our town. So.
Yeah, you know, I just sold another lot like a month ago. I mean, there's still a lot of spaces there.
I didn't think there was. I thought there was a few.
There's quite a few.
Well, still, we don't want to overgrow.
It may not be, if we had someone come in and they just, I want 8 spaces, that's going to be harder to match. But, you know, if someone comes in for one or two spots, right. there's space there.
And we talked about the new area having, you know, like straight lines, and this way, that way it's easy to figure out all the lots.
And that's why, because I even told Tim, like I said, we need to have this mapped out because it does change shape when you go from the where the road ends mm-hmm. and then in that last section that's not paved. And then from there where it goes, it kind of has this funky shape. Mm-hmm. It's not straight. And I said, well, we want to have it mapped out so we know exactly how many spaces we have right. and how we're going to lay out the roads. This last section, it may not look like the rest of the cemetery in terms of, you know, how the road goes, but I want it to make sense.
Right.
So that way you have uniform space on each sides. Mm-hmm. You know, just the cemetery over the years has just been kind of like added on mm-hmm. and not really kind of planned out. And then additionally, you know, because of all the cemeteries that, you know, we dig in, I've seen some terrible, terrible decisions in terms of laying out lots and stuff like that. And we don't want to make those mistakes. So currently as it is, you know, anytime a monument company comes in, we always have them check with us before even digging a foundation, mm-hmm. Just to make sure that the foundations and the lots, everything is so just stuff like that. But having that whole back place laid out so we know where the roads are going to be, we did kind of, or at least I did, when. Martel, when he was in there, I mm-hmm. think he had
Stan.
His yeah, maybe he had his son working for him or someone.
Yeah, probably.
He was back in there, and I stopped in there because he was bulldozing and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was just, you know, talking with him, chit chatting, and I had asked because he goes, you know, we do paving, and I guess at least he does, and I had asked him, this is ballpark, what would you think, you know, to kind of just pave this and. He's like, you're probably looking anywhere from like 30 to 40 grand, depending on like if you have like the stone donated and right. stuff like that. But if you're, you know, but.
Well, for so instance, the MWA parking lot, that was what, 120,000, something like that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, just the piece
that was just resurfacing it. That
was just a repair job he did was 50, wasn't it?
The yeah, piece that was just out on East Wells Road, what is it, a little less than a mile. That's 200 grand.
Yeah.
Well over $100 a ton.
It's the fuel. It's just gone up in price. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not cheap. So, but it's necessary too. Or at least get the dirt road in and then another year, a couple of years, pave it or something, you know, whatever.
But, I mean, even if we had.
But if you get a matching grant or something for that too.
I mean, you could certainly use crushed stone. I mean, we don't plow it in winter, so you could use crushed stone or gravel, crushed gravel.
I think it would pay us to have, you know, material brought in to at least, you know, have roads put in place.
Absolutely.
Whether they be gravel or whatnot.
Right.
And do it in stages.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you do look at the last section, there's no really established road there.
Yep.
And it really. It affects how the lots are laid out too, because no one knows. Nothing was staked out. There's no permanent pins in the ground. And,
I think you got enough for a meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know you're in and out of cemeteries? To me, it would make sense once we get it laid out that we put in cornerstones.
Cornerstone. I would put in,
you know, so big. There's a stone in the corner of your, you know, if
the cemetery.
If
mean?
My lot is from here to Paul, and then Tammy wants from here to there. There's a stone here, a stone there, and a stone there, and a stone there.
There is not. There is. Right.
I don't believe so.
No, no. So a lot of stuff.
Some people may have stones.
I thought it was.
I
thought you.
It.
I know when Mom and Dad bought theirs, that was one of the things they had to get was the cornerstone.
Well, for your lot, yes.
Yes.
But for a section?
No, I'm talking about for your, when once you get this thing laid out.
Yeah.
And you know that this is a lot and this is a lot. Can you put this, do they, the cemeteries put the stones in.
No, people pay for them. When you buy your lot, you got to pay
for it. Yeah, so not even temporary stones. And what some other cemeteries will do is they'll put permanent pins in the ground. So like basically like steel pipe, right? You drive steel pipe in the ground to mark where each corner is and center marks. And so basically, once you start laying out the lots, you just run chalk line. Mm-hmm. There's your straight line. That's how it should be laid out. And so as it is right now, every time someone wants a lot, I'll come out there. And so what I started doing was is we used to just kind of tell the monument company where it is. Well, mm-hmm. this presented problems too, because they would base the lot off of the one that's next to it. So you end up with like deviations and headstones that aren't lined up. This is a total mess. So what I've been doing is I cut out these 6x6 chunks of wood, right? And so I'll come in and I'll measure everything out, and they act as like temporary corner markers, and I drive them in the ground with a steel pin. And so then the monument company comes in and they see, okay, this is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And so then they can just pull up those pins, and as long as they put their corner markers right where I had them, that's for a lot. But what's not in any other part of this cemetery is any kind of permanent pins to establish basically a rectangle or square for all these lots. And that's really how things should be ideally lined up. Because there are cemeteries that do it very well, and you will actually see them do this.
Yeah.
Where when they're laying out a lot, they'll come in and the corner markers are just, you can just look straight down and they're all lined up. That's what I hope to achieve with this new section is, and even in the last section, if you look, if you go in and you go to the back of the cemetery on the left-hand side, there's a lot of new lots. You'll see these corner markers. Unfortunately, some of the lots that are closer toward the road, the corner markers are like this, but I've been trying to establish like a straight line for those. Just
because you probably get more in that way too.
Even though like the section is almost done, you can actually go back in there, and the largest lot in there is massive. It's like a 24-person lot. It's the Wade Davies lot. The corner markers go back into where like just past where the grass actually ends, where it's a little overgrown. Probably not so much now, but
right. I was gonna say that's really clear.
You can see where those corner markers are, and it's a massive lot. It's huge. Anyway, that's where the intended section should end. And that's right after that is where the road should begin, and then from there. But again, like we got to go in there and really have someone. So I do think that part of having Tim finish up what's done solves one problem, but we still need to have someone come and put some markers down to lay out this new road. So it would probably be better to get someone fresh, you know, because I doubt getting him to come out is going to...
I mean, it's been how many years?
Yeah, I mean, and we need to move forward before things get overgrown.
It's been 2 years since we got involved and put the back piece in there.
Yeah, since I've been on the board, I'm almost done with my term.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. And so I do think that also, you know, like with your guys' support too, you know, if you know, someone gets a little feelings hurt or whatever because, you know.
Well, business is business, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. He's not doing it for nothing, I don't believe.
No, all of my time is for nothing.
No, I mean his time.
So it is in ours, pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you know that my daughter was telling me when she went to Salem, Mass?
Yeah, he initially he was talking about, you know, just doing it for the town, and the reason why for the town and the cemetery is a community member because everything was already there. Like all the documentation he needed was already done. He had surveyed so and so's property before, so he knew. But this is just my recollection from
back
several years ago, like 2018, pre-COVID. So the initial thing that he did, he never, I don't think he charged for. I'd have to ask Charlie, honestly. But you know, to get, you know, I even told him in an email, I said, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. Let's get this done.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You know, and even when I met with him, I was the same. I was like, you know, and this was right after his, I think his father died. He said that he got way behind because he was managing someone's estate. But
oh, March 5th was the last time you emailed him.
No.
I don't know if you got a response, but that's what it was.
March
5th of this year.
Of what?
25.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
Eric emailed him, Tim.
I've seen him at least 6 or 8 times.
No, I know. I'm just saying that was the last time.
I talk to him in person. I don't bother with email. Yeah. I like talk to people face to face.
Yeah, I like your certified letter idea.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I'll write something up and just email him or.
Yeah, mail it. I know we're so used to the email, but yeah, I think at this point.
I mean, I just think, you know, I mean, I don't want to piss the guy off, but by the same token, like I say, time
well,
is
what's he expect?
We've accomplished nothing.
Well, that's where I've been at too. I don't want to piss him off, you know. But I guess if
I mean, I've been as blunt as I could be, and Tim, we got to get this done.
Right.
I don't want to piss him off, and if he gets pissed off, and then he's like,
what's
well,
he expect?
Here's a bill for all the work that I have done.
Wow.
So be it at this point.
I mean, what he's done is pretty simple. The land is surveyed in back of it, the land is surveyed on the left side, and the land is surveyed on the right side.
Yeah.
So you come in here, spends an hour or so looking at everybody else's survey, and you got it. But
right.
Then he hands you a blank piece of paper with a rectangle on it. Hello.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to think this out through. I mean, we get something from him, and if it's not quite what we want, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll just do two things. I'll reach out to some other surveyors at the same time too, to see what I can get for a response. Because
surveyors are busy. I know that. I know enough guys are in the surveying business, and they're busy, but they're not 2, 3, 4 years busy. No.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you call them today, they might not get there till May or something, or April, but they're not. Well, I'll be there in 2030.
I mean, now's the time to do it. I mean, there's no vegetation, and it's easy to find stuff. I mean, even the pins in the back of the cemetery are sticking up. It's supposed to be 50 degrees next week, I saw.
Oh, I think this Friday. Couple of days,
Friday,
and then it's supposed to go cold again.
This
will be our first mud season of the winter, before winter.
No, Marissa was saying that in a cemetery in Salem, Mass, that she was on one of those tours that they literally just uprooted all the headstones and re-put them so they're lined up for mowing, so now they don't really know where everybody's buried.
No.
But that's what they did years ago, so... There's headstones, but it's not necessarily in front of where it is. Yeah, because of for mowing purposes, I guess.
I heard in some cemeteries in Mass where, you know, terrain is a premium, they bury 2 or 3 deep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
Yes.
Goes down and that's one hell of a backhoe right there.
Yeah.
To dig down that deep.
Have you heard anything about the state changing it, that you don't need a vault now?
No, not that I know of.
You have to have a vault.
Well, that's what I thought, but somebody I know went to the funeral home to pre-buy his funeral, pre-buy the funeral, and the vault wasn't in the quote. I said, well, they're missing the vault. You need to check on that. And they told him that the state changed the rules and they don't need one anymore. That's Chris.
I don't think you need one if you're cremated.
Well, that's what it is.
Oh, well, you don't need one if you're cremated.
Well, I didn't put my grandparents all that. I know they had to.
I actually kind of had a conversation with this one gal who oversees Pulteney Cemetery, too, where they had a similar situation where we require vaults in our cemetery. And there was a family member who was, like, arguing with her. because basically he didn't want to pay for a bowl. Mm-hmm. And so she was telling me that she went through this whole rigmarole and basically like found out that you don't have to in the state unless like they, you know, like a cemetery can require it, because there are some religious aspects to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some like Jewish cemeteries where they don't require it. And then some cemeteries where, and I've heard this, where like they do require it, but they'll do something. They'll just take a vault without the cover and invert it. And then the, you know, they're still touching the ground and still keep that grave from sinking over time.
Oh, for the religious reasons.
Yeah, for the religious aspect of it. So, but there's no, for like cremations, like, no, you can put it in a cardboard box, and usually they come in a plastic bag, and
I mean, you can spread ashes anywhere you want. So what difference?
I don't think that's weird.
Yeah,
that's just me.
That's what I want. Good windy day.
Yeah. But maybe we ought to put in our cemetery rules that would require vaults. You know, like actually like put that in there, because it's kind of like one of those unspoken things. Like you do, but
well, and all your funeral homes around here would have to know that too.
Yeah.
When they're selling it, but I mean that's something on your contract when you sell the plot, you'll want to put that in there. Yeah.
Do you know what a funeral costs nowadays?
Yep.
A basic funeral?
About $7,000 for cremation. Well, I take that back. That's not having service on that. It's probably between $10,000 and $12,000. It's probably higher if you're being buried with a casket and stuff to pay on.
Yeah, you gotta have a casket.
Well, no, I mean if you do a cremation, it's different. But I bet you it's up to about $15,000 with a casket, and about what, $8,000-$9,000 maybe with the cremation, if you have a full service.
Yeah, it's huge.
Viewing and stuff. If you don't have a viewing or anything like that, it's around $7,000 to $8,000.
That's crazy.
Well, and I was meeting with my investment things with one of my policies, and they were telling me, based on, you know, my age and when I might die and all this, it'll cost me like, what the hell do they, $120,000 for a wedding or for a funeral? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I really don't think it's going to jump that much. I'm like, you know, like, no, that's overestimating. I'm like, God, I hope not. And I'll be thrown to the wind. I said, that's a little, I thought whatever, it was a little extreme from what they were estimating based on growth over the years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can ask Charlie about the ball thing. I see.
I can message Chris.
I see
was
him
just
every
wondering.
Morning. So.
Well, this is a Vermont. Well, he would know too. But I can message Chris and ask him. So, anyways, well, if you can just keep us posted on things, and if you need help with anything, you know, please let us know.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something start to happen come spring. That would be nice.
Yeah, I'll talk to Charlie and just see if some of the stuff that really is just maintenance and just general care, we can just hammer out, you know.
But you have a committee. You need to get the committee together. It's not like you're bored sitting on your couch doing nothing. You know, because maybe.
Well, some of the stuff we've already discussed and just hasn't been followed through.
So if you have a meeting, it might make the follow through happen.
I mean, as far as trimming and stuff, this is the time of year you want to trim trees.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll see what I can motivate and get done on that end.
Yeah.
And
if you could get his records down here so we can get copies made and.
Yep.
And what you have too. That'd be great.
I mean, I don't really want to have to go through the deal like I went through with this woman. And a couple other deals that have come across from the cemetery, as you know.
But if you can figure that out, where her father's buried, then
figure out
where he's buried, then somebody can get back to her, hopefully, and put her mind at ease and be able to get a stone in there. So.
Yep. Jenkins.
Like I say, I think Charlie's onto something, and I think that's probably where he is. But exactly where he is,
Charlie King, you mean?
We don't know. Not Charlie Holt, Charlie King.
Yeah, yeah, that was way before I was here in 90.
But it might be in the records you have, too.
Yeah, if it was in the 90s, I would like to think it's in that.
I can't think what his sister's name is off the top of my head, but yeah. I can find that out.
I mean, it's interesting. If I ask Charlie Holcomb, sometimes he's like, oh, yeah. And he like knows where everyone is.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, but the problem is one of these days he's going to be across the road.
Oh, no, no. I'm just saying in terms of finding, you know.
Right.
In terms of finding this person. Right. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, there's people that I buried that I remember where they were. But, you know, there's sometimes where I'm like, who?
Yeah. Yep.
But,
all righty.
All right. Well, if you could rattle a cage and get things moving, we'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I am on board. So.
Thank you for coming down.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it. I know you've been busy with school stuff, so.
Oh, holy shit. I had 4 meetings last week, so.
Did you?
How do you like it? I've been doing it for years.
Which year are you talking about? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it's good work. But we'll see what comes out of the legislature again this year. You know, with the whole redistricting stuff, and I don't know. I think there's a lot of talking points out there, and some stuff that is floating around that isn't really a true perspective of what's happening in every community.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about 12%, increase, but that's average for the state. That's doesn't pertain to like for our district, for example. So we're not seeing that those costs at all. We're
reducing our budget.
No. Yeah, you wish. not when healthcare is going up 9%.
Hey, I have nothing to do with that.
I know.
That's the state.
Where did we stand with our federal money that we were originally supposedly shunted from?
You talk about ESSER money or
federal funds that come to individual states. Several states were not given their full amount of money due to
COVID relief.
Educational fund money that was
okay.
It was due to the fact that we didn't happen to vote for Donald, and
they were
being shunted. Minnesota, Maryland, Vermont, I don't know, a whole bunch of states.
So some of that federal money was being withheld, and a lot of it is just like Title I, Title IV monies. But I think all that was released because there was a huge concern a few months ago about not having that money.
Well, yeah, that's kind of blatant discrimination, I would think.
Well, I think, and I think what they were doing, from what I understood, I didn't pay too much attention to it because I wasn't entirely worried about it. But I think what they were doing was the administration was going through and just checking to make sure that all these states were complying with those federal regulations, mm-hmm. right? Some of them maybe even being like. I think Maine is an example where, men and women sports or, you know what I mean? Like, so I think the Title IX changes to Title IX. So maybe that's what was going on as they were, just going through and just evaluating state by state. But I think, last time we had asked at the SU meeting that they did receive the funds that they needed. And at the time of that meeting, someone had asked, like, was there a plan in place? Should we not get the money? And they were already, like, trying to figure out, okay, what can we do if we don't get this title money? Mm-hmm. So they were already trying to work at the SU level on if they didn't receive it. But they did get the money, last I heard. Specifically, which ones, I can't tell you. But all I know is it's the federal.
Yeah.
On the federal level, so.
The first part that scares me is the woman that's running the national educational administrator. She's a former cage wrestler. I mean, I'm quite sure she's got an extensive educational background. I don't know where they find them, but...
She could slam you to the ground, I'm sure, Don.
What's that?
She could probably slam you to the ground.
I'm sure she could. She's a cage fighter. Guys are nuts. Our girls are nuts. Guys are nuts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've never been in a cage fight, but I've been in similar matches where people were kicking and screaming and slamming and beating.
Yep.
I don't do that anymore, though.
But we're looking pretty good as far as, like, education. But I do think that with the whole education transformation piece, I mean, ultimately, I think they want to try and make huge reforms to, you know, improve equity. Equal opportunities is what they say. But the biggest problem with even with Act 73 is it really doesn't identify what those cost drivers are. And when it comes down to it is like, for someone like myself who's been paying attention to this since January of this year, when they first announced their plan and released the H-454 legislation, the legislation was literally designed to close schools. But if you ask any legislator, they're just like, no, we don't want to close schools. They're lying to your face. They're telling you what you want to hear. They want to make it sound like we're not closing schools, somebody else is. Mm-hmm. But when you design legislation to do that, it's kind of misleading. When the redistricting task force came out with their report just before December 1st, Governor Scott wasn't happy about it, and he literally said, he quoted, saying that we have to do education reform so we can reduce the cost of education in Vermont by closing schools and reducing staff. So, you know, that's ultimately what it comes down to. So, you know, a year ago, we were actually talking about consolidation ourselves, you know, consolidating schools and trying to reduce that component. Because literally 80% plus or minus is staffing. You know, it's a hard pill to swallow, and there's no, unfortunately, one solution, because Vermont itself is just so damn rural.
Yeah.
And they keep making these comparisons to other states, you know, and other school districts, and, you know, we're just so spread apart that it makes it so hard. And that's why we're in this situation, in my opinion, at this point. Wow. You know, we have all these spread out schools, these old schools, these old buildings.
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice to have more of a regional approach, you know, because you see that when you go into New York, you know. But who's going to pay for that? You're talking $10 million schools regionally. And these are things that have been addressed, you know, not just by through, you know, the House and Senate committees, but also through other folks in the education world, and you know, even some of the organizations, BSA, BSBA, even the Rural School Community Alliance points out a lot of some of the issues. But we're paying attention to it. But at this point, there's still kids to educate. So,
yeah. One other question. We were under the impression that in order to not send out the yearly catalog book town report, that would have to go to the town for a vote. How did the school do it? Because I know it didn't go to a vote. Did they check with the state to make sure it was okay, VLTC, that books weren't sent out?
You mean the...
The report, our school budget, yeah, our annual report.
The town report.
The town report for the school.
Like, this book has to come out on a certain day, mm-hmm. by a certain day. One year, we had three books they brought in here 2 days before town meeting, you know. We mail them, which we don't have to do. We can, by vote.
By a vote.
Choose to put it in several different places in town so people can pick one up.
But the school never did that.
School just, you know, we may or may not, they may... At least to my knowledge. Drop any off here. You may have to call up and tell them.
Yeah, but I mean, even just not mailing them.
Yep.
Did Lewis ever check with the VLTC to see if that's possible without a vote?
I mean, I don't, like, I had reached out to the Vermont City of Leagues and Towns once,
mm-hmm.
And they said school districts aren't part of the Vermont City of Leagues and Towns, so we can't help you. Huh? You're not a member, yeah. No, believe it or not. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. No, if you're talking about this year.
I'm just in the past.
Year,
I mean, when we changed from no longer mailing them,
okay.
There was never a vote or anything that came to asking the towns if they approved of that.
I don't know if there's a legal requirement. So what?
That there has to be a vote or not. I just wonder if Lewis ever looked into that.
No, I mean, so here's my understanding of the annual report. Ever since I've been on the board, and when I got on the board there was an organizational meeting or something where they covered a lot of these housekeeping items, and they had decided that mailing these to all the residents would be astronomical. And decided not to mail them to everyone, but just to make them available. And my understanding, there was nothing illegal or the violated.
Oh, no, that's legal, but you have to.
I just don't know.
I believe, according to what I could find out, it has to come before a vote to change.
A vote of the town?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be on the ballot when you go to polls in March.
Okay. I mean, that's news to me.
There's a lot of towns, for instance, Dorset,
well, that's
you go to a post office,
they
don't have a stack of these there. Going to their store.
Might want to check it.
I mean, I can definitely check it to Title 16 because it could be different for
schools,
school districts.
Yeah.
I would like to think that we haven't been doing anything that was contradictory.
Well, sometimes
statute,
people just think that it wouldn't be, you know, and
because. Yeah.
Just they think, and they don't think to look into it, you know. So
yeah.
We were just talking about it. We were just wondering.
Oh yeah,
because I didn't remember any vote happening or anything
that.
So
if there was, it was before my time.
There, we've never voted on anything like
yeah.
that. Nope.
So I think I mean, I can definitely inquire too, but
I don't know if it was when they changed the. When you consolidate.
Consolidate is what it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I went to that meeting and I raised my hand and I asked the questions. When, you know, did anybody have a dictionary so they could look up the word consolidate? Because I couldn't figure out what was being consolidated. Other than we have more high-paying jobs now than we did before. And the same number of kids or less. But it is what it is. To me, you consolidate, you take the two grocery stores that are on each side of town and make them one grocery store. Just two schools, you make one school or whatever. You make one K to 3 and the other one 3 or 4 to 6 or whatever. To me, that's consolidation, but I guess I'm somewhat illiterate, I guess, probably.
Yeah. And
well, they consolidate the budgets. That's what they call consolidation.
Yeah.
Well, they
and then went out and bought 8 cars.
They did take 2 SUs, actually. Yeah, 2 SUs and combine them. So there's your consolidation.
But we really didn't get rid of any staff with SUs.
I don't know.
I
do know we have some cost savings by consolidating because initially when you had, you know, Act 46 to consolidate, which is the same thing they're talking about now, where we need less supervisory unions. We need less districts. You combine them. You remove some of those administrative components. You know, at some point, even though you remove, you know, some of those positions, once you increase your ADM to that district, you still need people to fill in other roles and responsibilities too. So, again, this is something that the legislature still has not even addressed the effects of Act 46.
Right.
That came up this past legislative session. We still haven't done that. And they still haven't addressed Act 73. Like, how is this going to save? And when they just keep saying, well, it's going to reduce administrative salaries. Okay. So let's say you take 3 SUs in our area and you combine them into one. Now you have, let's say, 6,000, 8,000 students spread across, you know, 2.5, 3 counties, right? And okay, so now you have one superintendent for that. And then you're going to have probably an assistant superintendent. You know, you're still going to have a, you're still going to have all the same positions, but you're going to have three or four times as many students. I don't know how all that's going to work. You know, the Vermont Superintendents Association says, you know, instructional scale works, you know, like, but does that really work in this really rural and mountainous environment? I don't know. It's debatable, I guess. And, you know, one of the other things, though, too, is, you know, supervisory unions and supervisory districts. That was a huge component to all this. You know, if you have a supervisory district or a school district, like Mill River is a good example. They've got about 1,000 students, or somewhere around there, 800-900 students for one whole district, you know, but all of their districts are in, or their schools are in their area. They only have one board, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have our districts within our supervisory union. There's challenges with that too. But in terms of efficiency, if supervisory unions were as bad as some people say they are, they probably wouldn't have had them since, I think, the 70s or 80s, whenever they first started.
How many kids are in this district?
About 155.
That's the whole supervisory union or whatever.
Oh, no, it's a district.
Yeah.
Well, I meant
1,400 for
the area that the two superintendents cover. How many kids in that area?
Right, so all the town, all those.
About 1,400.
1,400.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, ideally, like, I think
the main thing is the state requires so much information and data, and a lot of times, a lot of these positions, I know, like with the hospital, that's what they spend the whole time on, is all the state requirements and all the things they want. If they would back off on some of the stuff, then they'd have time to do actually teach the kids and follow up on the teachers and the principals and all that. But that's why we have to add on more people, just to answer questions with the state all the time.
Well, we gotta add on 3 zeros to my paycheck to get even close to what the superintendents are getting.
Yeah, you know, and even the teachers have a lot of, you know, criteria that they have to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
documentation.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know,
there's more expected of the schools now too.
Oh yeah. You know, and I've seen a huge change because of COVID. You know, not just in terms of cost, but you know, you look at counselors. Like, we didn't have counselors before then. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have had someone who part time, but I mean, full time counselors. It's crazy. When people expect a lot of this to be on the shoulders of the schools, and it's not just happening locally, it's happening all throughout the state. You know, I hear from other school board members and other officials, you know, they're talking about the same things, the increased cost that's being put on, because. And it's limited. So, like, if you have a student with behavioral issues, you can't just kick them out of school. Like, you know, and even if you did, it's for a certain amount of days, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the parents aren't helping, who does that put back on? You know, so, and you can't put hands on kids. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, like, literally, if you're just like, you know, come on, Timmy, let's go. Yeah. No, you can't even do that. Oh, and so, yeah.
No more ruler slapping on the wrist, hands anymore.
Yeah, because I've heard, you know, if you can't even, you know, a kid who's having an outburst, you literally have to take the students out of the classroom.
And you can't, yeah.
And how, you know,
I hear about it all
I can't time. Imagine. I can't imagine what any teacher, any administrator has to do in the state, like overall.
And a child can sit there and beat you when you can't do much.
I can tell you a woman that can tell you all the stories you want to hear. It's my wife. She's right up the hill here. She's a school-based clinician and a licensed social worker. She's got her PhD and all this shit. She worked at Vermont Achievement Center, which is the worst of the worst at Sheldon Academy. She can tell you. She can tell you about home visits, and you would not believe what was on a lot of homes around here with the little kids and what they put up with. You know, it'll absolutely scare the living shit out of you in plain English.
I believe it.
Unbelievable. She did it for 30 years.
Wow. I didn't know that. So, I mean, that just kind of puts things in a little bit more perspective. And, you know, I'm on the outside looking in from a long distance away. This is some of the stuff I picked up. But, and, you know, I can't imagine, you know, being an educator, just dealing with, you know, not just the day-to-day with students. And I would imagine that, you know, some class years are good. You have, you know, a good set of kids, and then others are just terrible. But, you know, who's to know? That's, I'm just talking elementary. I don't know what's going on in the high schools.
But, well, I can tell you what's going on in high schools. It's called the vaping all the time and putting food up in the ceilings. Oh, yeah, you won't believe the crap. Pulling sinks off the walls. No, not yet.
I think I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Me too.
Solving the problems of the school district.
Okay.
Not come under our jurisdiction.